The time is 5 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. We'll call the Carson City Planning Commission to order, taking place at the Community Center in Carson City, Nevada. May we have the roll call, please?
Chairperson Wendell.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Eswine.
Here.
Commissioner Castro. Commissioner Dahmy.
Here.
Commissioner Owens.
Here.
Commissioner Sadler.
Here.
Commissioner Steele. A quorum is present.
Thank you. Mr. Sadler, would you lead us in Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As for information for the general public, please be advised that the public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Planning Commission, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. Any member of the public wish to come forward to the podium and address anything not on the agenda? Let it be noted on the record that there's no one from the public indicating any indication to address the commission at this time. Regarding the minutes, it's my understanding that the minutes are not available at this time and will be submitted to the commission at their next meeting. Modification of the agenda. Items in the agenda may be taken out of order. The public body may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and the public body may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Mr. Plemmel, is there any modification of the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I think I would like to move F3, the resolution for Mr. Kimbrough, up to the first item to dispense of that matter at the beginning.
All right, sir. Thank you. Would any member of the commission wish to explain any contact with an applicant or the public regarding any item on the agenda or business of the commission? Any disclosures at this time? Let it be known on the record, there's no member of the commission expressing any desire to provide any disclosure at this time. Public hearing matters. F3, resolution 2014-PC-R-1, action to adopt resolution 2014-PC-R-1, commending Mark Kimbrough for 12 years of service on the Planning Commission.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the record, Lee Plemmel, Community Development Director. Just a bit more explanation on being at the end of the agenda. I expected the resolution to get passed this evening, and we would have it mounted on a plaque and bring Mr. Kimbrough back to present the plaque. But let's go ahead and do it tonight. We'll have the talk about Mark, and then adopt the resolution, and we'll get it mounted and get him his plaque later. So that works great. Mark Kimbrough, as you know, this is a resolution commending Mark Kimbrough. As you know, he was a Planning Commissioner for three full terms, 12 years, went through a lot of planning processes here in Carson City, the ups and downs of the development cycles that we've been through during that time. So if I may, this is relatively short. I'll go ahead and read it into the record. Whereas Mark Kimbrough has unselfishly devoted his time, energy, knowledge, experience, and ability to the Carson City Planning Commission by serving as a member for 12 years from June 2002 through June 2014. And whereas Carson City, its citizens, the community, and its staff have substantially benefited from the diligence and dedication of Mark Kimbrough as a planning commissioner. And whereas the Planning Commission during his tenure, initiated and completed a comprehensive update of the city's master plan, the Parks and Recreation master plan element, and the Unified Pathways master plan element. And whereas Mark Kimbrough is a highly respected member of the community, and his passion for smart growth, multimodal transportation, open space preservation, and the overall quality of life for current and future generations of Carson City residents was very appreciated by the commission and staff. And whereas Mark Kimbrough was a valuable and respected mentor to his fellow commissioners, and of course Mark served as a chairman for much of that time while he was on the Planning Commission. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Carson City Planning Commission recognizes and commends Mark Kimbrough for a job sincerely well done, realizes that Carson City has greatly benefited from his years of public service, and that all of the commissioners and staff extend their best wishes for all his future endeavors. And I would note that Mark's in the audience, so you're welcome to invite him up for comment. And Mark has not given up his public service. He's now a member of the Regional Transportation Commission for Carson City.
Mr. Kimbrough, yes. Would you be so kind as to approach the podium, please?
It's much nicer to be on this side today.
We have a statement provided by Mr. Clemmel.
We have a resolution submitted on behalf of Mr. Kimbrough by Mr. Clemmel. May I have a motion regarding this resolution?
I make a motion.
Motion made by Mr. Dahme. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Second made by Mr. Sadler. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any nays? Motion carried. Resolution is
passed.
Now in concrete.
It's
passed.
Are you going to send me the check now, too? That was
no, now we need a 30-minute dissertation for you.
Oh, I've got that. I'm Mark Grand Life. It's nice to see the new member, Victor, here.
Thank you.
You took my seat. Very pleased to see you here, Victor.
Congratulations.
And I won't tell anybody you were late today. So.
This is football practice.
There, that's much more important, actually.
Congratulations, Mark.
No, thank you. And I really enjoyed being on the Planning Commission, and you have excellent staff. And from when Walt left, who was kind of the mentor for me at the beginning, and then Waleed stepped into his place. He's done a wonderful job since then, and it's really nice to work for really qualified, professional, passionate staff that really love what they're doing. So that is, it makes it real easy up there because you know everything's being done as well as it can be before it comes in front of us. So I have to say that. I've always enjoyed working with the commission, and I ask lots of questions when people are up there. And they do that for a couple of reasons. One of them is these folks pay a lot of money sometimes for these permits, and they do a lot of work to get there. So sometimes it makes them feel kind of appreciative of the fact that somebody paid attention and read all that paper that was part of it and asking them questions. And I always got a lot of education from all these different all these permits and all the things that came in front of us. And I learned more just asking them questions, and you hear the story sometimes behind it, which is kind of cool about why they add the extra room or some of the humor that sometimes gets involved with neighbors competing with each other and stuff. So don't feel shy about that, about asking questions, because I think they really appreciate that. And being involved with the community, I think, is really important, and you guys have always done a great job, and you're always here, and a lot of times there's not people that are missing. I just saw Mark at the golf course. I don't know how you beat me here. You were putting your cart away as I was getting in my car. I had to change my clothes between the golf course and here just to get in here today. So I just want to thank, again, Lee and the staff for making this a really fun part of my life and being involved in the community and having a chance to have a say in some way. So thank you for that, and thank you. And whenever you get the plaque ready, you don't have to bring me back for that. You can just call me and I'll come over. It was very nice and well written. Thank you very much. So have a good meeting tonight.
Thank you, Mark.
Congratulations on your new appointment.
Oh,
I knew you wouldn't stay out of action for long.
No, I like to be connected.
So again, while you were on that side instead of this side, I want to thank you, as I have before, for the guidance you gave me when I first came on. I tend to speak a little quickly sometimes, and
you're
get
passionate.
The mark and say, hang on.
It's always terrible to have two marks sitting next to each other. Though.
But again, thank you for that and for the guidance you gave me when I first came on and while you were here.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark, I am very much pleased to disclose this thing. I worked with you, it's been 6 years, and I enjoyed to work with you. You have guided me so many times because I was totally new in this line. Sometimes you some people don't understand my language also, but still you cooperated with me, and I highly respect you, and I will do that in my whole of life. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Actually, you help our listening skills, because we all have to listen very carefully when Malkiel speaks so we can be clear with it. And you're a valuable member to this board, this commission.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it.
You bet. Bye now. I'll see you later then.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Next item on the agenda, F-1, SUP-14-066. To consider a request from Matt Rogers, property owner William Kugler, for a five-year review of a previously approved special use permit, SUP-10-013, on property zone general commercial mobile home 6000, GC/MH6, located at 3700 Highway 50 East, APN 008-271-04. Ms. Pansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Susan Dorr Pansky, Planning Manager. This is a request for a renewal of an existing billboard on U.S. Highway 50 East. The billboard has been in this location for over 10 years. We have not received any complaints at this time. I'm not aware of any complaints that have been received related to this billboard at any point in the past, but I'll quickly just go through the slides that I have prepared today. This property is, again, located at 3700 Highway 50 East. It's located on a lot that's split-zoned, commercial and residential. You can see from this aerial that I have up that the very far north small piece is zoned mobile home 6000, and then the remainder is general commercial. On the general commercial lot, there is an existing automobile sales business, and the billboard is located at the front near Highway 50 at the southwest corner. Just a few photos of the billboard as it exists today, from looking from the west, from the north, and from the east. Again, we have received no complaints. They are in compliance and are not asking for any changes at this time. We're recommending approval, and we haven't received comments for or against this proposal. Mr. Kugler is in the audience today representing the application, and he can answer any questions you have. Otherwise, that concludes my presentation, and I will answer any questions you might have as well.
I have one question. If we will see the board now, the other side from looking towards east, and its height is less than 5 feet, and it looks a little bit odd from this side because bottom lines are looking, so I don't look why they have put smaller size there. I think due to close building. That may be the reason, but it is looking not good as from the other side it is looking.
So just to clarify, you would prefer that the copy board on this side was the same size as the other side? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have the applicant address that. I'm sure there's a specific reason why that is.
William Kugler, it's K-U-G-L-E-R.
You had the opportunity to listen to the presentation by Ms. Pansky?
Yes.
Do you have any other testimony to provide, sir? Or perhaps even address the question that was provided by Mr. Dami to Ms. Pansky?
Matt Rogers, who actually owns the billboard, I own the property, but when that was installed, visually, that was the portion back then that basically from the highway could be seen clearly, and that's why it didn't drop down. The other side is a full face. That's a half a face.
Let me ask you one question. Are those two different signs? In other words, I realize there are two different signs. Is there one company that owns that whole structure?
Yes, Rogers Sign Company.
I see. Have they given any consideration at all? With regard to Mr. Dami's comment, to make it a little cleaner on this side so that it would be a little more, it might have a better view.
You know, I'd have to address that with Mr. Rogers.
All right. All right. That's something to consider. Mr. Sadler.
I'm guessing it's probably because of the sign in front, plus if it were lower, you wouldn't see it over the building. I mean, we're quite a ways
right.
back from the road. You
it's
wouldn't see
a line it. Of sight issue
right,
from the
highway. Right, because I went by there, and when you look up, that you don't see the back of right. the other sign because the building kind of sure. blocks it. Mm-hmm. I think it's the angle of the picture that shows the reason you're seeing the bottom of the other sign.
No, I believe that was just a question. Mr. Rahman.
I agree that it was the reason they have not, but they can leave that as it is because it is not looking good from the, when you drive, it is all, there are channels in that one which are rotten and something. So make that board looking good. It should be full size of 10 feet.
So you're saying even if the sign maybe weren't, the advertising wasn't there to cover that lower part?
Yes, you should cover that.
They could be clear panels and nothing else. Or not clear panels, but white panels.
Yes.
Is it possible, you know, I haven't seen anything at all that they're requesting a special condition on this, but have you given it any thought at all to talk to the gentleman that's responsible for producing this sign, if he would consider cleaning it up a little bit so it would look a little nicer from that side?
You know, I'm certain he would do that.
All right, sir.
He clean it up to make whatever acceptable standard you want to have. It's not asking too much, so
right.
I mean.
Well, we appreciate your consideration of that. So.
And it's not a subject of the approval.
Right, that's correct.
I mean, it's not required or a subject of the approval. I think it was more of a suggestion than anything.
Well, yeah, I understand. Right. And you know, Mr. Rogers is very considerate, and he will handle that. So.
All right, sir. Thank you. Are there any other questions, Mr. Kugler? All right. Thank you, sir. If any member of the public wish to approach the podium and address this particular application, let it be noted for the record that no one has indicated from the public that they're interested in addressing this subject matter. We'll bring it back to the commission.
I'd like to make a motion.
All right, sir.
I move to approve SUP-14-066, a special use permit request from Rogers Media Company to allow the continued use of an off-premise double-faced advertising billboard sign on property zone General Commercial and Mobile Home 6000, located at 3700 Highway 50 East, Assessor's Parcel Number 008-271-04, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
Thank you. Motion made by Commissioner Esquin for approval. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
A second by Mr. Commissioner Sadler. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any nays? Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Kugler. Next item on the agenda, F-2. SUP-14-067 for possible action. To consider a request from Verizon Wireless, property owner Capital Christian Center, also a Stanley E. Friend, for a new wireless telecommunication facility with a 100-foot tall monopole on property zone public regional located at 1600 Snyder Avenue, APN 010-221-15. Ms. Pansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a request from Capital Christian Center and Verizon Wireless to construct a 100-foot tall monopole telecommunications facility on their site. In the staff report, we've outlined the several of the requirements that are needed to be met for development standards for the monopole for new telecommunication facilities, and I'll probably go through just a few of them, not all of them, but quickly I'm just going to go through and talk about where the property is located. So the Capital Christian Center is located on Snyder, out to the east of the city, east of Bigelow Drive and west of South Edmonds. It's north of the existing prison. On this aerial, you can see it's also south of the which park is that?
Edmonds
Edwin Sports Complex. Thank you. On this picture, you can also see that the dot that the indicator is pointing to is actually the approximate location of the pole. I actually have an aerial that is closer, but we'll get to that in a minute. Again, a 100-foot pole is being proposed. As you can see on this aerial, the majority of the land around the property is vacant. It's actually the entire parcel surrounding the property to the east, north, and the west is all Carson City property. And then the nearest residences are along Edmonds Drive, approximately 950 feet away. And then to the south is the state property with the prison. Just a couple of photos of the view of the proposed site. This is looking north. You can see the lights from the sports complex beyond. It's going to be located in the corner of this parking lot. Looking to the west, looking to the south, and then looking to the west again from Edmonds. And it kind of gives you an idea of the gravity of the vacancy of the land around this property, which makes it ideal for a location like this. From Snyder Avenue, this is what the site looks like, and I have some photo simulations I'm going to show you next. But basically where the pole is going to be located on this photo is right here in the middle. And you can see there are other large-scale power poles in the vicinity as well. A closer-up aerial of the parcel indicates where exactly the pole is going to be located in the northwest corner. And then this is the elevation of what the pole will look like. It has an accompanying structure that will house the supporting equipment that's shown near the bottom of the elevation, and then it will be fenced with a chain link fence that will be required to be slatted with an earth tone color slat, and the building would be required to be earth tone as well. The applicant is proposing that this facility be a monopole as opposed to a monopine or some other type of tree structure, because as you can see in the photo here, there are some trees in the vicinity, but they're really not to the height of what this pole is going to be. So to make it look like a tree would probably make it stick out more than just a pole by itself. A couple photo simulations that were provided by the applicant. You can see the existing conditions on the top, and then on the bottom over on the left-hand side, the proposed pole at the Capital Christian Center. Again, the pole here in the middle. And you can just barely see it, the pole here, looking back to the west. Oh, and that was the last one. So we are recommending approval. They have met all of the requirements for height and dimension, setbacks, design standards and such. The special use permit's required for two reasons on this site. One, because special use permits are required for new telecommunications facilities of this nature, and two, because it's located on a publicly zoned property. As far as meeting the setbacks goes, we don't have specific setbacks set for public regional zoning. That's always set by the special use permit, and we believe that where they're proposing the pole is more than appropriate. We did send notices out to surrounding property owners. We did not receive any letters for or against, or any comments for that matter. Again, we're recommending approval, and the applicant's representative, Ms. Ellis, is in the audience to answer questions, but I'm happy to answer any as well. Thank you.
Any commissioners have any questions of Ms. Pansky regarding this application? Mr.
The following show, the building permit application on number 11, it mentions the exterior will not be lighted unless the FAA requires that. Do we have any answer as to whether that's a possibility or not?
As to whether it will be lighted or whether the FAA will require it?
Right. As to whether the FAA will require it or not, we don't know.
I don't have that answer, but perhaps the applicant's representative can address it. This is this condition is straight out of our development standards, which are also a part of the packet as well.
So normally a pole like this isn't required to have lighting unless the FAA, that's what that's trying to tell us.
Generally, yes, and it really depends on the location of the pole. So, of course, the closer it is to an airport, with the approach for the airplanes, the more likely it is to have lighting requirements.
And also, it showed the poles from the sports complex. Those are probably 60, 80 feet themselves, the light poles that are the closest to it, correct?
Yeah, I think my recollection of the Lee Plamwell Community Development Director, my recollection of the, there's one light pole that has cell phone antennas on it that is taller than the rest. My memory thing, I think that's 95 feet. So
I thought it was close, so it's not much taller than the poles that are just behind it up on the side.
Yeah, which is about 30 feet taller. I think you're right, about 60 feet or so on the light poles.
I have a question that kind of is general, and maybe fellow commissioners or the planning can answer it, but I may have missed it in the master plan, and I'm just, my thinking is, coming from Los Angeles and how telecommunications progresses, in 2002 it was one, maybe two communication towers, all of a sudden in 2010 we're looking at it becoming a point of blight within the community and the city of Los Angeles. So my question is, it is within the master plan or planning, has there been any limit put on this, or is there anything in existence so that this doesn't become an issue 5-10 years down the road?
I was here again, Lee Plummel. I was here during our process of adopting the standards that we have. So I'll try to provide some background regarding that. There's not a limit on the number, but we, as the ordinance was adopted and you go through it, we tried to put the burden of proof on the applicants that the coverage is needed. We encourage, first of all, co-location on existing facilities and where new facilities are needed for coverage to justify that. And you could say, I don't know what you think about the facilities we have around now, and I know maybe perhaps the applicant could speak to the future technology too, but we haven't had too terribly bad of a proliferation of applications coming in for large towers.
Okay.
And we've tried to address that issue to keep it that way in the ordinance.
Right. Okay. So, you know, and again, I'm sorry for asking the question, and everything seems in order in this application, but it's just kind of a question in general, you know. It's something to think about, gentlemen. You know, 5-10 years down the road, it could become an issue as telecommunications grows. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for hearing me.
Any other questions of Ms. Spansky? There being none, let's call the applicant forward. Would you please identify yourself for the record?
My name is Michelle Ellis. I'm here on behalf of Verizon Wireless.
That's Michelle?
Michelle Ellis.
Ellis?
Yes.
Thank you. Sure. Did you have an opportunity to listen to the statement provided by Ms. Pansky?
Yes.
And do you wish to add anything to it, ma'am?
Sure. I can address both of the questions that came up. As for the light, we do not currently have a light plan on the top of the facility because it's not within the range required by the FAA, but we're happy to add one. Often we're asked to add them, and we generally add a flashing red light that's compliant with FAA requirements. So if you'd like one, we're happy to add one. Okay. And as for the number of towers,
in response to your question, let me just say that it doesn't appear to be necessary at this time.
Okay.
Thank you.
As for Verizon currently has two facilities in the general Carson City area. There's one downtown, and then there's one in Minden North. And the reason that we need a facility here is because there's a growing number of Verizon users in the area, not just the number of people using the network, but how often they're using it, how much they're using their phones. And so we have a capacity issue in the middle. I have coverage maps if you'd like to look at them. We included them in the application, but you can kind of see how it's very weak in that spot, and that's why we propose the facility here. Yeah.
Right. Thanks. Any of the commissioners have any questions of Ms. Ellis? All right, ma'am. Thank you. Excuse me. Mr. Sadler.
I think we've had one of these before, like last year or maybe 2 years ago. And if somebody else wanted to share or whatever, you folks will work together with others to use
the
same facility.
Sure, yes. This is a very tall facility, and we have a large lease area. It's like 60 by 30 feet. So there's a room for at least one more carrier, if not more. And Verizon has pre-existing arrangements with most of the major carriers for reduced rates.
Because I think we ran into that with the other one, and they were going to share if needed or whatever. Mm-hmm. They tend to do that here, which is a good thing for mm-hmm. our carriers so that we don't have too many yeah. pulls.
Ms. Bansky, do you wish to comment on this?
Yes, and I'll add, actually, our development standards require that new facilities provide the opportunity for co-location. So they can't be singular service only. They have to be able to offer it up if another person presents themselves for that location.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Have you had an opportunity to read these special conditions that were attached to your application?
Yes.
Are you in total agreement with those, or do you have any yes. issues with them?
They were fine. I was in agreement with them.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay,
again, any commissioner have any questions of Ms. Ellis? Any further questions? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. Let's allow an opportunity for the general public. I don't see anyone, but someone may step in. Do anyone here wish to make any other statements from the public regarding the matter? Please note for the record that doesn't appear to be anyone within the public arena expressing the desire to address this application. Mr. Dummy, you had a statement?
No, yes, I will.
Motion?
Motion, yes.
All right. And you gentlemen have a motion? Mr. Dummy, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I move to approve SUP-14-067, a special use permit to allow construction and operation of a wireless telecommunication facility monopole with an overall height of 100 feet on property in the public regional district located at 1600 Sidner Avenue, APN 010-221-15, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Dami. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a second by Mr. Sadler. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any nays? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you very much, ma'am. Mr. Plimmel, staff reports.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple things to report. First of all, on previous items before the Planning Commission that went to the Board of Supervisors in September, we had the appeal of the decision that the mobile home park on Reeves Street was non-conforming and had been abandoned. The Planning Commission upheld that staff decision, and then they appealed that to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors upheld the Planning Commission and staff's decision regarding that 5-0. So they agreed with staff and the Planning Commission on that. Secondly, generally to report, we had community open house regarding the Carson Street project last week. Time's flying. Sorry, I have to think in my head. When that was that last week? Yeah, last week. Well attended. We're getting a lot of written comments. I sent information out to the planning commissioners regarding that. Just for information for anybody watching or for you, if to view the plans for Carson Street and to get other information, we've set up a website called CompleteStreetsCarson.com. And that has all the presentation materials. That's one word, CompleteStreetsCarson.com. I'm trying to get it set up on the main page, from the main page of the city website as well, Carson.org. I see as of right now it's not on there, but we'll get that link set up. Just some meetings coming up regarding that. On October 6th, the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee are reviewing it for a recommendation. And on October 8th, the Regional Transportation Commission are meeting, and we'll also be making a recommendation to board on the design to the Board of Supervisors on the design concepts, which we will tentatively take to the Board of Supervisors on November 6th. So you'll note that there's a couple boards that we're getting recommendations from taking it to the Board of Supervisors, and the Planning Commission's not one of them, and I've kind of struggled with that a bit. I know the Planning Commission is, you know, probably would have some good input, but kind of as it's been set up for these committees to make these official recommendations, it's not, these right-of-way improvements aren't something that's typically within the purview of the Planning Commission, although this really is a big planning project, and, you know, I certainly welcome you all to stay involved. and participate, and we'll use, you know, I'm willing to recommend that we use the Planning Commission as needed, but also you might just be happy that you're not involved in the middle of it and have to go through these meetings and listen to it. But I do appreciate any of you that participate in the public process and do that. And redevelopment is involved. You know, redevelopment was chosen by the board as one of the advisory boards for the downtown project because it's within the redevelopment area. They look for redevelopment type of projects within the downtown core, so that made some sense. And it's really a street project, which is the Regional Transportation Commission. So those are the two boards that have been selected to make some official. As an official review board for things as they move along with that. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Thank you, Mr. Flimmel.
So,
Mr. Sadler?
On that, Lee, on that, as far as with our personal input or recommendations, is not a difficulty being we're on the Planning Commission and still giving that, or, I mean, I guess it's not a problem. I was a little hesitant to say much because I am on the Planning Commission, whether I should be talking about my pros and cons.
No, I think, I would encourage you all to make comments. In fact, from that website, actually, you all have my address. Send any comments you have through me, and they're going. I would note that to the public, though, from that website, there is a contact us link where you can write your comments. And hit send, and it comes to the planning office, so the public can do that. Or you could just send comments directly to us. And yes, I do encourage planning commissioners to comment on it.
I have a question, though, and that is that if any individual planning commissioner wants to address this particular subject matter, should they do it as a member of the public, not as a member of the planning commission?
Yes, and in particular, if you do it at one of the official meetings.
Yes.
As written comments is submitted, those are clearly as an individual, not representing.
I just wanted to clarify it so all the commissioners understood that.
Just for the record.
Yes, sir.
Just for the record, as I was quoted in the paper, my quotes were as a resident of Carson City, and it was the reporter who indicated that I was a member of the Planning Commission.
Well, and it's funny, along that line, I brought this with me. I don't know if you saw it in Sunday's paper, the Bud Irving's letter to the editor, and he's referring to the Planning Commission's approval of this and our salaries and all this stuff. And he started the article with the Planning Committee, which was probably involved with this, or with maybe the planning staff. But the letter comes across that it was us, you know, and they're going to look at our salaries. I wish they would.
They wish.
Anyway, okay. Yeah, and I didn't get I had the same kind of thing this Saturday while I was looking at to buy a tree that the plan was to we weren't going to allow right turns on anywhere on Carson Street. So it's kind of like the phone game. I don't know how the information got filtered to that, but for anybody if you have questions and something sounds kind of odd, please anybody feel free to contact the Planning Division for information on it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Flimmel.
I still have one question.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I just probably shouldn't even ask.
I failed to mention also for future agenda items, we do have coming to you next month special use permit for the animal services facility at the corporate yard that is also part of the sales tax projects. So that special use permit's coming. And we have four special use permits for medical marijuana establishments coming to you next month. That will be just before the state announces who they're issuing their certificates to. So any approvals, they're coming in so that they are lined up if they get approval from the state. So any approvals will be conditional upon receiving that state certificate. So,
but they're coming to us before they get state approval?
Yes.
Is that not maybe getting the cart before the horse? I mean,
that.
No, I mean, I guess you could you could say it is. It could be, but because they have so much work they have to do once they get their approvals from us and from the state, it really doesn't matter from our standpoint for them to come to us first, because we'll condition it saying that you have to have your provisional certificate from the state for this special use permit to be valid. Otherwise, the special use permit doesn't really mean anything. So, you know, they certainly are putting some money out that they maybe wouldn't have to if they don't get their certificate, but that's a risk that these particular applicants are willing to take.
So they'll be coming to us with the guidelines from you folks as to what they have to meet, and that's what we're looking at. But we could be looking at a very interesting meeting if there are a lot of people here, you know. Okay.
Yes.
I have a question. Let me just address something here, is that we need to acknowledge, take our lead from Mr. Plemmel and Ms. Bansky, and that is that if you don't wait for me to acknowledge you for the record, you need to acknowledge yourself for the record, because everything goes on the tape recording.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you. All right. Mr. Esselman.
This may be for Joe, but if the Carson City is only allowed one licensee, can we, or two licensees, can we issue four special use permits?
Yes, because it will be conditional on them getting the provisionary certificate. And if they don't get it, the special use permit is not valid. So we know for a fact we'll have two dispensaries. We're allotted that many. But when it comes to cultivation, production, and labs, we could have more. And I expect that we will potentially have more. And it really just depends on how those certificates come out. So that special use permit won't be valid until they get that certificate.
Okay. And our labs and production facilities, they're going to require a special use permit also?
Yes, they all do.
Okay.
And these four applicants, I'll mention, three are for dispensaries and one is for a cultivation facility.
Thank you, Ms. Pansky. Are there any other questions of Mr. Plemmel or Ms. Pansky? Mr. Castro.
So there's four coming before us. Is four the limit? Is that just what's been applied for? Where does that stand?
So there are 22 applications to the state total for Carson City. I issued, I believe, 20 or 21 zoning letters for people to accompany their state applications. So in theory, you could hear 20 special use permits. However, I believe there are going to be applicants that wait until they get their certificate, and if they do, then they'll come before you. So the only limitation we have right now is the two dispensaries. Carson City did not put a limit on cultivation, production, or labs.
I have to say I admire Carson City so much for the handling of this, because I was involved in this heavily in Los Angeles. And they basically went and they got their business licenses and opened up before everything was regulated. And then it's so hard to shut down a business in the city of Los Angeles. So the way this is going is really a thumbs up. This is good. Yeah.
Okay. Since we're on the subject, even though we didn't put a limit on the number of production and cultivation facilities, but we could limit the number of special use permits that we issued. Or are there going to do we have criteria for the issuance of a special use permit that we have to follow?
There's certainly criteria for the issue of a special use permit, and there are specific criteria to MMEs. So, we're certainly going to get into this more next month, but this is a land, we're not evaluating and picking which the character of the applicants and those things as the state is in their licensure. We're looking at this location. Is it permitted there? Does it meet the special use permit standards? Are there special conditions that require special conditions to be placed on the permit, and we're issuing it conditional upon them getting approved, with the understanding if we have three dispensaries, at least one of the applicants that will be before you next month will not be in business. But it also brought up a point to your question about, too, and I think they're, you know, got me thinking about conditions, and I don't want to get too far to talking about it, but that we would want to have some condition in there that we are going to permit a maximum of two. I think that's also in our ordinances as a maximum of two, so that will have to be addressed somehow in the approval, that it's conditioned upon that, and in no event will it be more than two in Carson City. So we do need to figure out how to address that. But you're making it. Yeah, you're going to have to make an individual. You're going to have to look at each individually as if they could go forward.
Well, I'm just sort of thinking about the potential for concentration of these of the facilities, and would that be something that we could consider in our review of a special use permit?
Possibly, if it has impacts, that's something that was considered in the adoption of the ordinance. It was felt that. You know, perhaps that kind of close integration may be a better way to go, depending on their location. So I don't think, you know, so there weren't separation requirements, and it's going to be somewhat dependent upon the neighborhood that it's in, which is why it's a special use permit for those considerations.
Mr. Satter.
So obviously it's not a state requirement that they have the special use permit to get approval, because that's first part of the question. And so it's not required by them. So we're just looking basically that they follow the ordinance where we've said they can be put or whatever, that it's legal to be there. Correct? That's what we'll be looking at.
Okay, so to answer the first part of the question, yes, they do require the applicants to meet all local regulations, which is why they issue a provisionary certificate initially. And then once they get their special use permit in jurisdictions that require it, and then their business license, once they have all of that met, then they go back to the state and get their official certificate.
That answers the provisionary
right.
Answers my question, basically, then.
Okay. And then what was the second half of the question?
We're just basically going to look at whoever comes before us, if they're in an area that was approved for them to be in, et cetera, et cetera. That's all we're approving, basically.
Right, yeah. An area that they are appropriate to be in, and that they meet the specific development standards that we've set forth in the code.
Thank you, Ms. Penske. Are there any other questions or comments from any of the commissioners regarding this particular matter or anything else?
I was just going to ask him if he knew if the Army Canals were going to open up.
Okay. Okay, let me address the public. Is there any member of the public here at the present time that would wish to approach the podium and provide any comments or discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Planning Commission, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item? Doesn't be any indication from the public to address this particular subject matter. So we'll bring it back to the commission for a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Thank you, Mr. Satter. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Esmond. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any nays? Motion carried. Thank you. You'll be gone? All right. So I will call you so that you can be.